Now, a hugely worrying story for those of you who have been watching the news this past weekend. Yesterday, Sydney saw one of its biggest pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel marches to date. Tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands, walked across the Harbour Bridge in a protest demanding a ceasefire to open aid corridors to Gaza and calling for sanctions on Israel. Despite initial police resistance, the courts allowed the protests to go ahead, and the turnout included public figures like Julian Assange, who you'll remember as the WikiLeaks founder, and also Bob Carr, who is a former Australian Foreign Affairs Minister. Organisers called the protest peaceful, but despite that, there was some disturbing imagery that raised serious questions. And joining me now is Justin Amler, who is a policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, known as AIJAC, and who himself is an ex-South African. Justin, thanks so much for staying awake. I shudder to ask you what the time is right now, but know that we do appreciate you staying up late to talk to us here on the home run. The sheer size of this protest, what does it tell us about public opinion in Australia right now when it comes to Israel?
Well, hello, Paula, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me again. I think what it tells you is that that the Palestinian, or on the Palestinian side, they have a very attractive narrative, and it's simplified into slogans and imagery. And it's quite easy to market. They'll show images of suffering people, and with a constant narrative of Israel causing this. And for many people, this is what they will see. They'll say Israel causing a war on civilians and on people, and they will, it will move them to stand up against that. Because, I mean, from a normal point of view, everyone would be against something like that. So I just think the whole a narrative is attractive, and it appeals to a lot of people who don't have an in-depth knowledge, or not even an in-depth, who have only really a superficial knowledge of the conflict without actually understanding all the context around it. So for a lot of people, that they're taken in by those kind of images.
Was this really a peaceful humanitarian march, or were some of the visuals and chants crossing a line?
Well, they marketed it as a march for humanity and as peaceful. Now, the images were anything but peaceful. For instance, I've seen quite a few social media images. There was someone with a sweatshirt saying "Death to the IDF" printed on it, with the inverted red triangle, which is actually a symbol that Hamas used to mark targets for killing. There was also a poster or protesters held up an image of Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, clutching a gun. Now, as we know, in Iran, they brutally repress women, LGBTQI people, and all minorities. So that's most definitely not a sign of humanity. There were also symbols of the swastika inverted on the swastika projected on the Israeli flag, with the message of Zionism is Nazism or neo-Nazism. So the images themselves were anything but peaceful, and anything that would embrace humanity or acceptance. They were very, if it wasn't violent in action, it was most definitely violent in rhetoric.
Justin, from what I understand, there was initial police resistance, but the courts later allowed the protest to go ahead. In your opinion, should protests like this be restricted, or is it, and I'm smiling while I ask you this, is it a healthy sign of democracy?
Well, look, free speech is essential in democracy. Okay, I want to make that clear. We are all entitled to our view in a democracy, but there's no such thing as completely free speech. When speech crosses the line and it changes from, opinion or protesting or demonstrations into violent rhetoric, that's when the lines cross, and that's where there should be limitations. Some of these images are absolutely, in my opinion, incitement. When you hold up a sign or saying "death to the IDF," you literally, as you know, in Israel, there's conscription, and almost all citizens serve in the army. So you're literally calling for the death of most of the population. So, or also image like, Zionism is Nazism. That's an absolutely It takes away the humanity on purpose of Israelis and Jews, and that, of course, is violent, violent rhetoric, and that shouldn't be allowed. That to me crosses the line between free speech and hate speech.
Having public figures at the protest, like Julian Assange, who was the WikiLeaks founder, and the former Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Bob Carr, do those kind of personalities matter? Do they give a lot of weight to these kind of protests?
Well, I think anyone in the public sphere seems to, correctly or incorrectly, bring some kind of, validity to what they do. So when people see public, big public images or public people, joining a certain side, a lot of people think, oh, okay, well, if someone like that's joining it, they must be in the right. I mean, we see that with celebrities all the time, whether some celebrity will endorse something and people think, oh, if they're endorsing it, that must be good. So it does add weight to it, but it doesn't add value, if that makes sense. So it gives it, exposure, but just because of that exposure doesn't make it, doesn't give it validity of whether it's correct or not. But it certainly does create publicity.
Justin, this was one of the biggest pro-Palestinian demonstrations in Sydney that we've seen to date. Who are most of the people that were there? Are we talking about the Muslim population, or do you find a lot of ordinary people who are not necessarily Muslim, not necessarily affiliated for Israel or against Israel? Are a lot of them turning out? If I go back to what you said at the beginning, like, because they presented as a pro-humanitarian march, are a lot of people who are not involved in the conflict being influenced?
Yeah, well, it's a very good question. Of course, there would be a contingent of Muslims, but also ordinary Australians. Now, as I said in the beginning, many are taken in by these images. I mean, anyone, just from a purely human point of view, if you see images of children suffering, you want that suffering to stop. It's a purely, it's a human emotion. We all want that. And people are taken in by that. But the organizers themselves are absolutely from, Palestinian advocacy groups and things like that. They're the organizers. But ordinary Australians are just, who aren't, they could be very well-meaning people. And they're taken in by this whole rhetoric. So I think it's a cross-section of society. But as I mentioned a bit earlier, it's with their limited knowledge, they only see a certain side. I mean, at these protests, which are supposed to be marches for humanity, you won't see anything on the Israeli side. You won't see anything about the Israeli hostages, still suffering, 50 of them, 20, which are thought to be alive. The day before, or a couple of days before these marches happened, we saw those horrific images of two Israeli hostages in absolutely emaciated state, starved, tortured, not a word about that. And these protests are not calling for the end, they're not calling for the they're not calling for the end of the war in terms of, Hamas ending it. They're just calling for an unconditional ceasefire, which would leave all those hostages, to the fate in the hands of these monsters. So I just, I don't expect people to understand all this knowledge. So people are taken in by soundbite, by TikTok kind of concentration, if that makes sense. Limited context of what they understand without understanding the broader picture. And a lot of that I would say is due to the media. Because the media reports in a certain way. The New York Times, take the New York Times. They had that picture of that little boy. It was presented as a victim of Israel's starvation campaign. Turns out the little boy was sick and had a condition. But, when the Israeli hostages were shown after the Hamas videos were released, there was nowhere on the front page of the New York Times. So the media does control the narrative, and people are taken in by that because that's what they see.
Was this protest a turning point in Australian public engagement on the Israel-Gaza conflict? In other words, people like you and others who are prominent in the Jewish community in Australia, are you shocked and worried more than you were before? Or is it much of the same of what we've seen happening in Australia in recent months?
Look, I wouldn't say I'm shocked, because we've seen this trajectory for a long time now, for the last almost 2 years now. Ever since October 9th, just 2 days after the October 7 massacre, when we saw those protests in Sydney, on the steps of the Sydney Opera House, that began a real descending slope in terms of I guess anti-Semitic incidents in Australia. It really changed. It was a black day for Australia, and it changed things. So a march like this, I wouldn't say it shocks us, but it's definitely a worry, because for many Jews, and I don't just mean in Australia, I mean around the world, there's a narrative which is very hard to combat. And in many, many people feel we're losing that narrative, and not due to facts, just due to the way it's presented, the way Israel is portrayed. So it's a tough battle, and it is worrying, because we know that these marches, while some people may be good intentioned, there's a definite anti-Semitic element within them, and it doesn't bode well for Jews in general. It's not a great feeling, to be a Jew and walking around, with this going on.
That's the last question. Is Australia under real pressure to recognize Palestinian statehood, or is that still just symbolic talk?
I think it's just a case of time. While they haven't come out and said they would, in the same way, France, Britain, and Canada have, it's on the cards. It's not a case of if, it's a case of when. And this is what, the government has said themselves. At the moment, they haven't outlined any plans, but it follows logically that what Britain, France, and Canada will do, Australia will follow. So, yeah, it's just a case of when. It's not a case of if.
That's hugely worrying. That's Justin Hamler, policy analyst at the Australia, Israel, and Jewish Affairs Council, AJAC. Whether you see this past weekend's Sydney protest march as solidarity or a spectacle, no doubt it has struck a chord, and not just politically, but emotionally. Justin, thank you again. And to our listeners, we'll keep asking the questions that matter here on Chai FM.